We're going to be coming again from the book of 1 Corinthians. So while we look at 1 Corinthians, we're still on the topic of United We Stand. This is something we started last week. United We Stand. And when this is talking about division in the church and how to stay united in response to what has historically plagued the church since Jesus, which has been division. In fact, last week we started with talking about stop thinking which denomination is better. Stop thinking that. We talked about it. We talked about why don't different denominations of Christianity work together? Because we let our differences make us competitors. And we try to end on this note that who unites us, not just what, but who unites us, is stronger than who divides us. So remember, when we compete against our own team, the other team wins. And so today we're going to continue in the book of 1 Corinthians. So if you've gotten there, you're already where you need to be. If you don't know where 1 Corinthians is, you can look in your physical Bible, and it's going to be in the New Testament section. Once you, in the table of contents, go to the table of contents. You go to the table of contents. There's an Old and New Testament section. Go to the New Testament section. Once you're in the New Testament section, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, you will see 1 Corinthians. We call it 1 Corinthians. You turn to that page, and once you are at that page, you are already where you need to be at chapter 1. And then from there, you will go to the 17th verse. Those are the small numbers. And now we're going to be coming from the 17th through the 25th verses today, but in the interest of time, we're just going to start by reading the 17th verse. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say, wait a minute. Amen. I forgot to say, wait a minute. Y'all too quick for me. Gotta keep up. First Corinthians. First Corinthians. Okay, this is mic 2. Is that good? All right. Mic 1 is up here. So, mic 2. All right. 1 Corinthians. First chapter, 17th verse. I'm going to be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible Version. You'll find similar words printed on your text. It is also on the screen for your reference. It reads as follows. Verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ will not be emptied of its effect. The topic that I'd like to come to you, bring to you today is this. Stop thinking which explanation is better. Stop thinking which explanation is better. Amen. And of course, my notes would play tricks on me because there's no explanation for what's happening. But the good thing is that the Word of God still works. Amen. And so we're going to do it like this. When we talk about division in the church, we know that division had to start with something. And it started with, various teachings, various things that we were doing, and people wanted to go their separate ways because they had different ideas of how things worked. That said, we talked about this last time where people were starting to get competitive about the way they view things, which way is the right way. They started to get competitive, and even today, it's hard for us to work with other types of Christians because we just think they're wrong. They're wrong, and how, in some extreme cases, can I call you a sister in Christ, and you just wrong about what you believe? We about to take communion. This body and blood represents the body. This bread and wine represents the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you over here, Mr. Lutheran, this is, this turns into the actual body and blood of the Lord when you eat it? Or you, Mr. Catholic, which is already, it's already the body and blood of the Lord, and what? How are we going to get along if we can't even agree on these things? And you know what? The devil is counting on that. He's counting on us having division. He's counting on us exacerbating these differences. He's counting on that. He needs us to be divided. It works out well for him. When Jesus is the head of the church, right? It works out well if the whole body is all dysfunctional, right? So of course he needs us to do these things. So the question today is this: how can God use another denomination when their theology is, quote unquote, not as good as ours? And since I'm in a Baptist church, talking to Baptist church members, obviously Baptist beliefs are the best. Obviously. How are we going to work with them Pentecostals? How are we going to work with the mainline folk? How are we going to do that when they don't even agree on everything that we all agree on? How is God even going to use them? How can God use somebody that believes that when you can only get saved when you speak in tongues? How is God going to use somebody like that? And you know what's happening on the flip side? How is God going to use them Baptists? Them born old, no spirit having Baptists. How God's going to use them? And that is the topic that we are going to look at today. Because Paul was presented with that different denominations, different people thinking that their way is the better way and their person is the better person, trying to out-argue each other. And when there's a whole lot of argument, ain't nothing getting done. And Paul picks it up in verse 17. He says, 1 Corinthians 17, first chapter 17th verse, he says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize." We talked about that last week. Paul said, Christ did not send me to start my own church. He didn't send me to start my own cult. He did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. But look what he says. Not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ will not be emptied of its effect. Now, this is interesting because here, and then also there's other parts of the scripture that talk about this. Paul, the great Paul. I mean, we read what he wrote, what God used him to write, right? That's what we're preaching from today. The great Paul admitted he's not the greatest preacher. In fact, if Paul, the actual Paul, were to come today and preach today from what God used him to write today,
Most people would be bored because he was not that great of a speaker, and apparently he didn't look that great either. He was a regular dude that God used. He admits he's not the greatest preacher. But to Paul, that's a good thing. Why? Because the cross can show more of its power. That God can use somebody as regular schmegular as Paul to preach with power. And again, it's that's what Paul said. He said he doesn't want to do that because the cross of Christ would be empty. He does not want the cross of Christ to be empty of its effect by him having all of these eloquent words and knowing exactly what to say, and it, just so the crowd can go, yeah, Paul. He didn't go for all of that. And I personally am grateful that the Lord does not require me to be the greatest preacher of all time to preach his word, because the power is not in the messenger. The power is in the message. It's not how we preach. It's what we preach. And I say that because somebody here might be thinking, well, I can't teach, I can't minister, I can't do anything, you know, for God because I'm not that great. God, perfect. I'm glad you're not that great. That's exactly how God wants to use you. Because the cross will have its power. See, what Paul was preaching was that God chose a method of salvation that does not depend on how intellectual or spiritual we are. What do you mean? First Corinthians verse 1, chapter 1, verse 18, it says, for the word of the cross is foolishness. Everybody say foolishness. Now, if you were speaking Greek in those days, when it was originally written, the word was moria. Okay, or moria, whatever, however you want to say it. In Greek, you know, moria, you know, obviously meant foolishness, you know, kind of silliness, right? Moria, that's actually the word, the Greek word from which we get the word moron. So, the word of the cross is moronic, silly, stupid, foolishness to those who are perishing. This is what Paul is saying. But it is the power of God to us who are being saved. Verse 19, where it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside of the intelligent. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom stupid? Dumb? Idiotic? Moronic? Foolish? Verse 21, for since in God's wisdom, the world did not know God through wisdom. Listen. God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of what is preached. God chose a method of salvation that does not depend on how smart we are or how, you know, in tune with the spiritual things that we are. And God did this on purpose because he wanted to show you that even a moron can be wiser than a mastermind. And I thank God because, you know, and my wife will tell you, I have some slow moments.
You know, there's some things, you know, she'll tell me, and it's like, huh? And, you know, there's some things that take me a little longer, you know, to get. Now, y'all quick, y'all just get things like that. That's wonderful. I was the type of student in class, I heard everything in class, and I took, you know, tried to take my notes in class, and then I went back home and then tried to learn it. Because I couldn't learn in class, because it was, you know, just, you know, slow. whatever the world wants to think, right? Some people would have called me, you know, a bit of a moron for things. But this is how I know God is doing what he's doing. Because here I am today, glorifying God among the people, even when people thought that I would be not fit to do what God wanted me to do. Matter of fact, even when I didn't think that I was fit enough, but God used me. And I say this because sometimes as Christians, we either look down on ourselves or we look down on others because they just don't have that. You know what I'm saying. They just, but God uses people like that to do greater things than the people with doctorates and postdoctorates and accolades. God uses people like that. And that's really the essence of God, of the gospel, is that God uses the foolish things, what seems foolish to us. And those things are actually, you know, wiser and more clever than anything in this world could offer. I hope this is given somebody some encouragement, because somebody might think they're just too stupid. No, you're not. You might think you're slow. No, you're not. You're not. You might take a little longer to process things, but all that matters is that you process it. That's all that matters. Verse 22. Because the Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom. Now, let me just go through a little bit of story on this, because you remember last week we were talking about what the division actually was. You had people that were Team Paul, the founder, right? Then you had people that were Team Apollos, you know, the super smart, you know, doctorate type of guy, right? And then you had people that were Team Peter. He was with Jesus. He walked with Jesus, saw the miracles. Matter of fact, he walked on water himself. Peter walked on water himself. Oh, yeah, and by the way, he was doing crazy miracles. He would pass by, and if his shadow fell on people, they were getting healed. Peter. Regular old Peter. Jesus denying three times, Peter was doing miracles, telling people to get up and walk, and they got up and walked. Peter. So we had teams over here that were saying, hey, we got to stick with Paul because Paul introduced the faith. We got to stick with Apollos because, man, look how Apollos is. It's bringing the word. Look how rich and deep he's getting. Ooh, I like how deep he get. And then there's Peter. People are like, hey, Peter show signs. Peter doing signs, y'all. Peter is showing that God, the Spirit, is all with him. It's evident that the Spirit is with him. Some of that sound familiar? Peter performed a lot of signs. Apollos was educated in philosophy and rhetoric. But think about this. Each one was well-suited to reach their culture. Peter was with the Jews. He did a lot of signs because the Jews responded to signs. That's what they wanted to see.
Apollos was with more of the Greeks. He was an Alexandrian Jew. They, you know, in his culture, it was all about being able to reason and argue and prove, you know, what you're arguing. He was great at that in a culture that only respected things like that. They were well suited to reach their culture. But I want you to look at this again. Verse 22, for the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek wisdom. Verse 23, but we, all of us, all three of us, we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews. And what's that word? Foolishness. Moronness. Idiocy to the Gentiles. It was tripping people up because, you know, Jews wanted to see signs because it showed that the power of God was with you. So, when you're telling people to get up and walk, when you're walking on water, when you're telling the storm to stop and all, oh yeah, those are signs we want to see. That gets me hype. But then you're coming over here talking about Christ on the cross. I don't really see how Christ dying and bleeding on the cross is, you know, power. Right? Wouldn't that kind of be, I don't know, Reverend Burks, the opposite? Because powerful people don't die because of other people. Okay? And Apollos, oh, we can reason all day, but you really mean to tell me, this is what Apollos has to deal with. We're going to preach Christ crucified. Okay, I understand the wisdom. I understand, you know, proving the atheists wrong and proving, you know, all of the other religions wrong. I understand that. That's great. But you're going to say that this is all based on Christ crucified? That don't even make sense. How is a guy on a cross supposed to be wisdom? It doesn't make sense. You can argue all that other stuff. That's great, but you're really basing it on a dude on the cross who claimed to be God, but he got crucified. What? I don't get that. This is what they were dealing with. Peter, Apollos, and Paul, Christ crucified. And this naturally confused people. And you know what? The cross still confuses people today. People don't get it. How is God turning human to die? What? Why would you do that? It doesn't make sense. This is supposed to be the power of God? A guy that's dying on the cross is power? Huh? To me, it seems like the, what? Opposite. The cross still confuses people today. And you know what's really sad? I understand that, you know, it confuses the world. Of course, you know, there's things that God hides from, has made foolish for the world, right? But what's sad is when we're Christians and we still don't understand the cross. The cross is still confusing. Some of us are coming in here or online with problems. I mean, real problems. Relationship problems. Bill problems. Physical problems. I mean, real stuff that you got to deal with every single day. And we going to come in here to talk about the blood will never lose its power. What? Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. Like, how does that help me pay my bills? How does that help me deal with my family? How does that do that? And it's sad when us as Christians, we're supposed to be lifting his name up and celebrating this, and we just confused, like the rest of the world. The cross still confuses people today. But let's keep going with it. Let's keep going with it. For the Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks seek wisdom. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Verse 24, yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because God's foolishness, quote unquote, is wiser than human wisdom. And God's weakness is stronger than human strength. What am I trying to say? The cross looks like the opposite of power. It also looks like the opposite of intellect. But it is the perfect sign and the perfect explanation. And this is the reason, is because when we look at Christ crucified and when we understand what Jesus was here to do, all of our problems, if we understand what's going on, all of our problems will go away. What do you mean by that? When you understand that Jesus Christ took care of your sin problem, he can certainly take care of your math problem. Talking about your bills, talking about school, talking about how am I going to get there and I don't have enough money in my bank. He can take care of those types of problems. When you think about Christ crucified and the fact that he loved you so much that he left glory to die a horrible death for you, you realize that you are loved already. You don't need to go seeking love from anybody else. You don't need to get everybody else's approval. God is the one who loves and approves. That could do wonders for you psychologically, mentally, if you really understood it. The cross is so deep and is so rich. And if we just learned and spent our time and actually made an effort to understand instead of just writing it off because we don't know what it means, we'd understand that this is exactly the answer we need to know. That when we talk about the blood will never lose its power, that's exactly what we needed to know today. That it reaches to the highest mountain, flows to the lowest valley. That's exactly what we needed to learn and exactly what we needed to know today. Because the cross applies to so many areas of my life. And this is why emphasis on signs or explanations. Emphasize the cross. Emphasize the cross. And this is what we come to when we look at the question we originally asked, is how can God use another denomination, right? When their theology, when their explanation of how this all works is when it's not as good as ours. Well, God uses the cross. I'm going to say something crazy. The cross doesn't need to make sense to have power. You realize that, right? The cross doesn't need you to understand how it works to work. God is not running anything by you first just to make sure you're okay and and then he works. God works regardless. It does not need to make sense. And this is why the gospel is simple. The gospel is simple. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born through the Virgin Mary. And he lived, he did a whole lot of good, but the best thing he did was die on the cross for our sins. And Jesus was buried. And on the third day, Jesus rose from the grave. And one day, Jesus is coming back. The gospel is simple. There's so many applications of what I just said. But the gospel is simple, and God made it simple on purpose. And so when we sit here arguing about, is this actually the blood? And is this actually the body or not? We might be trying to add too much to what God has made simple. You know, when we sit here and I mean, really go at it with each other on whether you should be speaking in tongues or not. Maybe we're making something too complicated. If we're getting real heated on that. Real heated on what type of baptism. Maybe we're spending too much time. Because when it's all said and done, all denominations should celebrate the gospel. See, the gospel is designed to unite us. That's the whole point of the gospel, is that Jesus died for all our sins. He didn't check to make sure we had master's degrees. And that we passed our divinity classes and understood and then applied the power. Jesus did it anyway. Even a child can understand the gospel. In the sermon, James. In the end, my question is, do these differences really matter? What am I saying? Because with this, now we, obviously, as a Baptist church, we take a stance, and we say that this represents, right, the key word is represents, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we believe. That's it, right? Lutherans take a different stance. For them, it you know, turns into the blood and body. It's as if you are eating the body and blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Catholics believe that this actually is the body and blood of Savior Jesus Christ. So when you ingest it, you're ingesting his literal flesh and blood. Okay. As a Baptist church, we're going to hold on to our stance. Okay? My question to you is this. In the end, what matters? That we do what Jesus said and take it. Now, obviously, it's important to, believe what we believe, right? But I'm not going to go out here and fight all these Catholics because they think something different. Because you know what? If God wants to use them, then he will. And you know what? For them, if it helps them for it to literally be the body and blood of the Lord, whatever. Because it helps them commune with God. Are we going to teach that? No. We teach a different thing. But am I going to get all riled up and start saying you ain't a Christian because of that? No. That's a waste of time. We are a Baptist church. We believe in baptism, which means full immersion, right? We dip you all the way in the water. We wait for all the water to cover your face. And then we bring you out. Methodists, Catholics,
Other denominations, they sprinkle. Okay? Are we going to teach baptism by immersion? Yes. That is what we do as a Baptist church. That's still a requirement. Yes. Are we going to say that they're not Christians? No. They believe differently than we do. But the very fact that we are getting identified with Christ, that is what's really important. This whole tongues thing, oh Lord. There are denominations that believe that you are not saved unless you speak in tongues. And I struggled with this one. Because I believe that tongues is a gift. It's just a gift like any other gift. God gives it to whoever he wants. God gives different people different gifts. It's another gift. But, and that's what we teach here. But you have people that are staunchly believing that you are only saved until you speak in tongues. And then that's for them. It's like once they speak in tongues, they just feel good. They feel saved. They're it. That's it. In the end, they're serving Christ. And we're serving Christ. So does it really matter? Does it really matter? We're still going to teach what we believe. But is it that big of an issue to where we cannot even work with them to advance the cause of Christ because of this whole tongues thing? No. Why is it so important that you be right? Why can't God work multiple ways? We see in the Bible that some people were saved, and actually a lot of people were saved, and they never spoke in tongues at all. It wasn't recorded. But then there were some very specific instances, specifically with cross-cultural reaching, but that's a whole different sermon, where the Holy Spirit fell on them and they spoke in tongues. So did God work more one way than the other? No. God just has options. Why? Because he's God. He can do what he wants. Why is it so important that we have to be right? Why is it so important, you know, for some of my Pentecostal folks, that you have to speak in tongues, otherwise you are not a Christian? Why is it so important to you? Why is it so important that you can experience salvation not just by the word of faith, but that this is what other people teach is that, but you also do the sacraments. You know, when you eat and all that stuff, it's basically the same experience of getting saved. And if you don't believe that, then you're not a good Christian. Why is it so important that you believe that? God can work multiple ways. We teach one way. But God can do what he wants. And a difference of opinion should not result in a division over opinions. Fighting over some of this stuff is moronic. It's silly. It's stupid. It's dumb. We sitting over here fighting each other. Like I said last week, people going to hell outside. And we can't talk about who, we don't want to, we can't even talk about reaching them because we just so busy fighting each other. We supposed to be making disciples of all nations. Everybody agree on that. But we can't do it because of this. A difference of opinion should not result in a division over opinions. And now I want to qualify this as I'm ready to close. We can have views without division as long as we are viewing the same God. And I say this because I'm sure there's somebody asking, well, you know, what about the Jehovah's Witnesses? They're not viewing the same God. It's not the same God. They believe Jesus is like an archangel. They don't believe that he's actually the true, you know, second person of the Trinity. They don't even believe there is a Trinity. So it's not the same God. So that's why with Jehovah's Witnesses, we don't do that.
With Mormons,
it's not the same God. It's a literally the definition. Jesus and Lucifer were like brothers, and they were, you know, got to be gods and have their own universes. Weirdness. No, we don't. That's not. It's literally not the same God. But you know what? There's a whole lot of Kojic folks. There's a whole lot of AME folks. There's a whole lot of Catholics and Lutherans that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he actually did go on the cross and die for our sins, and that he was buried, and on the third day that he rose again. They believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord. They don't reduce him or make him to be any different. They believe what we believe. Now, the way they do it is a little different. And we don't necessarily have to say that we are going to do the same thing, because we're not going to be doing the same thing at St. John Baptist Church. However, what we can do is this, and I'm going to close with this statement. We can agree to disagree, but we should also agree to agree. We're going to disagree on what this represents. We're going to disagree on the importance of tongues. We're going to disagree on baptism and what, you know, what is the quote-unquote correct way to do it. We're going to disagree on the permanence of our salvation, you know, the whole election thing. We're going to disagree, but we ought to agree that the gospel itself has power, and that it doesn't matter if you are a Baptist or if you're a Lutheran, or if you're a Catholic, that the cross still has power. That the gospel still changes lives. That Jesus still does his work. That the Holy Spirit still moves with the church. Even though we're of different religious or denominational persuasions. Even though we disagree. We can agree to disagree, but we should also agree to agree. Agree on the basics. Agree on what matters. Agree that Jesus Christ is Lord.